like to invite you this morning to turn with me to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. On this Mother's Day, I'd like for us to study the life of Naomi. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Verse 1 reads, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of that man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ethrites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Let's pray. Oh God, once again, we thank you for this day, Mother's Day, and we pray for a special blessing upon our mothers, and especially for those that have made the effort to be in a place of worship this morning. We pray for a special encouragement for them as we study the eternal word of God. Teach us all, O God, we pray. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Naomi is a unique woman in that she experienced all the facets or all the sides of womanhood. She was a wife. She was a mother. She was a mother-in-law. She was widowed. And also, she experienced the heartbreak of her only two sons dying. But at the end of it all, she becomes a grandmother. So when I think of Naomi, I think of a woman that experienced it all. There are some valuable lessons that we can learn from her unique life, in how God can take tragedy and bitterness and bring about a sweet end. Sweet on Bitter Street is the title of our little sermonette this morning. Sweet on Bitter Street. Let's see if we can extract some sweet juices from the life of Naomi about her God that will be a source of strength for you and I. Now, the setting of the book of Ruth is, as it reads there in verse number 1, the period of the judges during a time of famine. So we would guess that the events recorded here in the book of Ruth take place approximately during the events recorded in Judges chapter 6, where we read of a famine in the land. And it was because of this famine that a man by the name of Elimelech, as it reads there in verse number 2, decided to jump ship. He decided to move to a place called Moab, not far from Bethlehem, south, east. The land of Moab was that area on the east side of the Dead Sea, a mountainous, fertile area. So Elimelech decided, I'm going to move my family to the land of Moab because there is a severe famine in the land. Moab, the Moabites, the people that lived in this area, were descendants of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. The Moabites were a people that oppressed God's people. They were not on friendly terms with Israel. In fact, in Judges chapter 3, we read of the Moabites oppressing God's people. So Israel was commanded to remain separate from the Moabites as much as is possible because they are distantly related. For example, marriage to a Moabite wasn't strictly forbidden, but there were some restrictions. It was allowable for an Israelite man to marry a Moabite woman, but not for a Moabite man to marry an Israelite woman. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Elimelech chose to live among a people that were hostile to his own people. Why would he do that? Why would he leave his homeland and go to a place that was inhabited by a people that were hostile to his people and to his values? Well, it's pretty obvious that Elimelech was an opportunist. There was famine in the land, and he'd heard that Moab, the land of Moab, was fertile and producing, so he decided to lead his family down to Moab. Elimelech was an opportunist, highlighting the sad spiritual condition within the days of the judges. The book of Judges, at the end there, in chapter 21, verse 25, makes reference to every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And that's exactly what Elimelech did. He did that which was right in his own eyes. We have food shortage here. I hear there is food in Moab. So he did that which was right in his own eyes. Chose to live amongst a people that were hostile to his people. And as we've read this morning, the grass was not greener on the other side of Moab. They were there for a period of some 10 years, the Bible teaches us in verse 4. And in that time, Naomi's husband and two sons died. Very sad. So Naomi, a vulnerable widow, decides, I'm going to move back to Bethlehem because she has heard that there was now plenty of food there. Note then verses 6 and 7, please, of Ruth chapter 1. Verse 6 reads, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So with this background of the tragedy, or the tragedies that have taken place in the life of Naomi, losing her own husband, losing her own sons, she decides to go home. She decides to return back to Bethlehem, Judah. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethlehem. Not far away, really. In fact, Bethlehem is only down the road from Jerusalem, maybe about 10 kilometers. And the city of Bethlehem is located on a rocky mount, surrounded by fields that are normally fertile. And the fields of Bethlehem, in the good days, were well used for grazing, and that's why we read there in Luke chapter 2, in the Christmas story, how the angels appeared unto the shepherds by night. And so within these fields that God's people planted figs and olives and grapes. So Naomi hears that now once again her homeland is fertile and there's plenty of food in the land. The famine has passed. So she makes a decision to return to Bethlehem. God was drawing Naomi back to himself by giving her a desire to return. And the first main point I want to stress this morning from the life of Naomi is that we see here God's providence, the providence of God at work in her life. Though destitute and a broken woman, God was still at work. Because she had heard how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Naomi wasn't altogether destitute spiritually. Yes, she was struggling, but she wasn't altogether destitute. And she'd heard that God was providing for his people back in the land, so she makes a decision to go back. We see the providence of God at work in her life. And my friend, this is a timely reminder for us all that no matter our circumstances, we can rest in the hope that God is present and God continues to work in our lives. And we see this in the life of Naomi. It was her husband that had led her and family out of the will of God. The grass wasn't greener on the other side. And here's Naomi, a widow. Now, to be widowed within the biblical setting, you are vulnerable, with a capital V. No welfare. Her sons were dead. She had nobody to look after her. She was vulnerable. But God cared for her. God cared for Naomi. And God made known to Naomi, there is food back home once again. Isaiah 43 verse 2 teaches us, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. See, Naomi followed her husband to Moab. Now she's bankrupt emotionally and physically. But we see God providing a way for Naomi, providing a way for Naomi to get back on track. And I'm mindful of a wonderful verse there in the New Testament, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 13. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, no trial, testing, taken you, but such as is common to man. But note the promise, God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted, tested, above that ye are able, that is, able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, a way out, hope, that ye may be able to bear it. And this is exactly what God does for Naomi. In her vulnerability, she's vulnerable. God provides a way of escape. She hears that God has provided once again for his people. It would have been humbling for her to return to Bethlehem, to admit failure, the failure of her husband. They had made a serious mistake. In not only leaving the promised land, but choosing to live amongst a people that were very hostile towards them. May God open our eyes to see that just like we have seen here in the book of Ruth, that God hasn't forgotten about Naomi. May God open up our eyes to see that God is continually at work in each of our lives. And we can trust God to produce something precious from our unpleasant circumstances. Now, I'm of the humble opinion that she just simply followed her husband. I'd rather not read into it. That's how it was back in that day. The simplicity of submission, the simplicity of fellowship. She just followed her husband because she loved her husband. Of course she could see, hey, we're in trouble here. She simply followed. And she's left with the baggage. But God hasn't forgotten about Naomi. And God is continually at work in her life. And may God open up our eyes to see and to be reminded of the fact that no matter what you've done or not done, and maybe you, like Naomi of old, have been part of a mistake, and you are reaping the consequences of that. Beloved, there's a way back. Because there is a God in heaven. And God was overseeing Naomi. And God made known to Naomi, hey, there's food in the land. There's a reason to go back. So she decides, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back. Naomi discerned this open door back home. And I wish more of God's people were like Naomi, that would simply see the writing on the wall. I.e., there's a reason why things aren't working out right now. Could it be that I'm not where I should be? Could that be a possibility? And no doubt Naomi had the discernment in hearing there was food back home. God wants me to go home. God wants me to get back on track. So Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. So we see God's working in her life, in spite of the circumstances. And secondly, I'd like for us to note here in chapter 1, Ruth chapter 1, please, verses 8 and 10, that as we have just read, Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem and her two daughters-in-law decide to go with her. But we note here in the following verses that Naomi discourages her daughters-in-law from returning with her. She tells them, in essence, I can't provide for you in Bethlehem. Note there verses 8 to 10. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the death and with me. So they were obviously good daughters-in-law. Verse 9, and the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. So verse 10 tells us that the two daughters, in-laws, were determined to go back to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem. And we see here in verses 12 and 13 that she tells them, I can't provide for you. There's no point you returning with me to Bethlehem. In fact, look at verse number 11, please. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? There yet are more sons in thy womb that they may be your husbands. So she tells them, in essence, from verses 11 to 13, go back. I can't provide for you. You're still young. You can marry. And you can have children. You can start all over again. I have nothing. I have nothing. I am bankrupt. I can't offer you anything. So stay behind. You can remarry. You're widowed. You can have children. You're young. You can marry. You can have children. But she confessed there in verses 12 and 13, I'm too old. I'm too old to marry, and I'm definitely too old to have children. go back. Now, what did Naomi mean by this? Now, it's important that we understand that within the Mosaic law, there was a provision for childless widows. They could marry their husband's brother and raise up descendants that way. So that wasn't going to happen because both of her sons were dead. That's what she's referring to. So because both her sons were dead, she was too old to marry and have children. And in having children, then she would have living brothers. And therefore, in time, the daughters-in-law could marry the living brothers. But Naomi said, that ain't going to happen. I'm too old. I can't have children. And you're going to be waiting a long time, if I could, for my sons to be old enough for you to marry them. So go back, she said. Naomi was selfless. I was pleased in my King James Study Bible, in the little notes there, it made reference to Naomi being thoughtful, considerate. Naomi was thinking of others. We see her selflessness here. Even in her darkest hour, she was thinking, what is best for my daughters-in-law? Go back. You're young. You can remarry. You can have children. I can't help you. Of course they could help her, but she couldn't help them. And note what happens there in verses 14 to 18 of Ruth chapter 1. It reads, they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, note then verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God will be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if thou but death part thee and me. And note verse 18. When she, that is Naomi, saw that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So one of the daughters-in-law decides, okay, I'll go back. Gives Naomi a huge kiss. Goes back. But the other, Ruth, stood on her own and said, Naomi, I'm going with you. I have decided that where you go, I go. Where you live, I will live. Where you will eventually die, I will die. Your God is my God. What a token of good for Naomi. What a token of good for Naomi. For Ruth not only gives her allegiance to Naomi, but she affirms her loyalty to Naomi's God. And she's determined to remain with Naomi. I love that wording there in verse 18, that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. We see the goodness of God in Naomi's life. My friend, this morning, God is good. God is good to all. And God is good all the time. God is good. God is good to all. And God is good all the time. Did Naomi deserve the goodness of God? No more than you and I deserving the goodness of God. But God was good to her. So we not only see in Naomi's life that God opens this door for Naomi to get back on track, to go back home to Bethlehem, but we see that God is good to Naomi in providing a soulmate by the name of Ruth that decides, I'm going to be loyal to you, mother-in-law. I love you. I'm going to stick by you. I'm going to do everything I can to support you. I'm with you. Full stop. She was steadfastly minded. God not only provided a way back for Naomi, but God also provided a soulmate that would support her on her way back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. My friend, this morning, do we see God's goodness in our lives? It could be in the form of a special friend that is a towering strength to you. It might be in a position, it might be in an opportunity, it might be in an outcome, it might be in a provision. Beloved, God is good. God is good to all. God is good to all the time. Though we are undeserving, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. My friend, Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to die for good people. He came to die for sinners in need of a Savior. God in His goodness was willing to take human form and go to an old rugged cross and shed His blood for sinners. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's because of God's goodness you and I can turn from our sin and enjoy forgiveness in the person and work of Jesus Christ. God is good to us. God is good to the undeserving. None of us deserve God's mercy. Oh, but Pastor, I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're a rotten, filthy sinner. Compared to a triune holy God. But God in His goodness came into this sin-cursed world and died on the cross for your sin, for my sin. And makes the provision of a way of escape. Just like God provided a way of escape for Naomi to go back to the house of bread, God has provided you and I a way of escape to avoid sin, death, and hell. and to experience eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. God is good. God was good to Naomi. God gave Naomi a soulmate by the name of Ruth. And we will see in the following chapters how God honored the faith of this Ruth because of her selflessness as well. Naomi reflected selflessness in saying to the daughters, "Go back. I'm sorry, I can't help you." And then Ruth gives the evidence of selflessness, and she's willing to sacrifice her life for her dear mother-in-law that she loves so dearly. And how God is good to Ruth as well. Naomi could taste and see the Lord is good. In Psalm 34:8 it reads, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." My friend, do you see and value God's goodness in your life? See, God was leading Naomi back home. God was good to Naomi. Now we read on in verse 19, please, of Ruth chapter 1. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Verse 19, "And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them." Bethlehem was not a large city. "And they said," look at verse 19, "Is this Naomi?" Some 10 years have passed. "Is this Naomi?" And note what she said, verse 20, "And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi," which means pleasant, "seeing the Lord hath testified against me, the Almighty hath afflicted me?" The question was asked as Naomi made her way into Bethlehem. "Is this Naomi? It's been some 10 years." She might have aged with the trauma and the hardship she experienced. That's understandable. I've seen people go grey overnight. Now, you'll go grey eventually. No point trying to hide it. But I've seen in my ministry experience people experience a tragedy, a difficulty, and it seems like overnight, gray. All of a sudden, old. Could that be, understandably, what took place in the life of Naomi? Scriptures teach that our countenance is a mirror of our heart. What's here, what we see here, is what's in here. You can pretend for so long. That's why I wish at times I had this huge mirror. And to help you see what I sometimes see. Good, now you're all smiling. Proverbs 15:13 teaches us, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. If you are really happy within, it will be evident without. Is this Naomi, they asked? And she said to them, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. God has dealt bitterly with me. And then she goes on in verse 21 and she makes reference to the fact that she was once full. She had everything that you could imagine. She had family. She had possessions. We left full and I've come back empty. God has dealt very bitterly with me. God Almighty has shown his disapproval by afflicting me with great pain. No doubt Naomi felt the chastening hand of God in her life. She acknowledged the fact that God has dealt with her. My friend, the Bible teaches us the way of the transgressor is hard. Naomi's a broken woman at this time. She openly vents her heart. She admits what's in her heart. And I'm reminded of Psalm 51:17, which reads, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. See, God can take that which is broken and produce a sweet fragrance. And this is what happens in the life of Naomi. That God will take this brokenness, this bitterness, this chastening of God in her life, and God will bring something beautiful from her life. I think of that alabaster box there in Mark 14, verse number 3, that was broken. And that perfume was poured out on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gave off a beautiful fragrance. We sang the hymn that is based upon Psalm 23, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And God is leading Naomi back home, has given Naomi a soulmate. And Naomi is now rock bottom. She can only look up. She is where she needs to be for God to restore her. And we see in the chapters to come that God does restore Naomi. I think of Joseph there in Genesis, that from that bitter experience of family rejection and Egyptian bondage to that sweet experience of reunion and salvation of family. So with this confession of Naomi's bitterness comes the opening to restore sweetness into her life. And this is what we'll see in the chapters to come of this wonderful book. The only way is up for Naomi. She's on rock bottom. And she realizes that. The Almighty hath afflicted me. God has dealt with me. Though my husband led us to Moab, I was a part of that. And I have no doubt that Naomi took and bore that responsibility. God has dealt bitterly with me. God has afflicted me. Naomi was reflecting on her need for something greater than what she had. And my friend, this morning, God can restore. And this is what we'll see within this wonderful book. We'll see God restoring the life of Naomi. And God brings some good out of this whole situation. And my friend, no matter your brokenness, no matter your hardship, no matter the mistakes you and I have made, there is a God in heaven. And God hasn't forgotten you. And God will be good to you. Do we see it? And could it be that God is allowing you to hit rock bottom, where you can go down no further? And because you've hit rock bottom, you can only look up. Glory to God. Amen. That's why the Bible teaches us that God doesn't despise brokenness. He values that. A broken, a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This is what we'll see in the life of Naomi. My friend, this morning, God is able to extract some sweet juices out of life's bitter experiences. Amen. God is able to extract sweet juices out of life's bitter experiences. In Naomi's life, we see already sweet on bitter street. God's provided a way back. God's provided a soulmate. And God has brought her rock bottom so that she can only look up. It gets better in the chapters to come. The hand of God was on Naomi's life. My friend, do you see the hand of God upon your life? In spite of your circumstances, there is a God in heaven. Amen. And for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, He promises never to leave us. He promises never to forsake us. That God will always provide a way back. And God will always reflect His goodness. God is good. God is good to all. God is good to all. Let's say it together. All the time. And we see this in the life of Naomi. And on this Mother's Day, I'd like to encourage you. No matter what life has delivered you, there is a God in heaven. And if you'll acknowledge Him, if you will make sure that you know Him, God will work as He did in the life of Naomi. Because God is good to all the time. Let's bow for prayer.